got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Jake Dickert and Washington State coming off a huge emotional win, a win that probably meant a lot more than any other win that I have seen at Washington State, and certainly a lot of Pac-12 fans interested in that. He's joining us now. All right, give me an idea. What's your phone look like when you get back in the locker room? Everything's settled. You pick out your cell phone. Like, you look at it. Like, how many messages did you have?
Now, first off, John, it's a pleasure to be back on. You know, obviously a big moment for our university. Big moment for our football program. Obviously, personally, I think people felt what it meant to me personally as the leader of this team, but just really proud of our guys. There wasn't a moment in that football game where they flinched. But, yeah, I mean, success brings everyone out of the woodwork with a lot of congratulations. But you could really feel the pride of Cougar Nation after that win.
I mean, but you have to look at your phone and you're like, you know, there are a lot of stakeholders, a lot of people probably who have your phone number, high school coaches, recruits, friends, family members. It's got to be nuts.
Yeah, I haven't changed my number in years, and I've realized maybe I need to do that at some point here, but until then, we just keep rolling with the same thing.
All right, give me an idea. Let's start with, you know, fourth down in the game. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is that a fifth-year senior linebacker who's making basically the end of that play, the tackle, cleaning things up? I mean, that's a guy who's stuck with your program.
Sixth year, actually, John.
Okay.
I know it's unbelievable to think about in today's world, but it was cool because I've coached KT when I first got here. He was a walk-on, just trying to find his way, and then to see him in 6 years now to be a team captain, a full-time starter, and just embody what it means to be a Coug and just embrace this team and our culture every step of the way. Just really cool to have him and Andrew Edson, a Mount Si West Side kid, make the big play at the end of the game was just so rewarding for those guys.
In that moment, like, you know, I'm watching this thing. Fans are watching this thing, but you're living it. What is that like to be on the sideline? The play calls in, the defense is in, you're set. Now it's left up to the kids.
I think what I've learned through 3 years, John, is that being a head coach, you know, sometimes you don't feel like you get to really impact the game. You know, you're not making the exact calls. But in that moment, there was so much game management going on. There was a chess match we're trying to play, trying to stay ahead of what they're going to do, how to use our timeouts. Do we like the look? Hey, let's fourth down, show them a different look, and then change it. You know, there was so much strategy going on. Then we get the ball at the one-yard line. How do you get out of that situation? Try to get them to jump off sides. I mean, it was just in that moment and a lot of talk. And biggest thing is you got to make sure you're prepared before that. I mean, we do a lot of game simulation in fall camp. I thought our guys never flinched. They were prepared and ready for everything that came their way. And I think we just had a great positive team win.
I love what you said after the game on national TV. And then obviously, you know, in the post game news conference, you make the comment about retiring the trophy. Are you serious about that? You want to? Will Washington State retire that trophy? Keep it forever?
Well, I don't think I end up making the big decision on that, John. But yes,
why not?
I do.
They're not going to take it from you. You take it to your house. They're not coming over to get it.
When you look at the history of the trophy, I mean, in 1962, the Apple Commission kind of commissioned this trophy, and in my mind, John, that was for Pac-12 versus Pac-12. I'm a big fan of let's embrace this new era. So when you do that, let's embrace a new trophy. That was just the way my mind thought kind of in that moment, and how fitting that we have it now and kind of control that maybe a little bit.
Jake Dickert with us. John Mateer, your quarterback. He is a gamer. A lot of grit. You know, you can tell he likes contact. He's a football player. Help us get to know him a little better.
Well, I'm not going to downgrade your words you used there, but he's way more than a gamer. He's one of those guys that is gritty, that loves ball, and is just all about it. You should see the work he puts in behind the scenes, John. I mean, in the film room, on the practice field. Every time he's out there, he has a mission, and it is to deliver his best in every situation, in every practice, in everything that we do. And he's had that chip on the shoulder since he came here from Little Elm, Texas 3 years ago. He's gotten an opportunity to learn this system as a backup. He's got an opportunity to see someone in front of him do it at an extremely high level in Cam Ward, and then to come in and do it in his own way and utilize his strengths, right? He didn't come in and try to be Cam. He's going to be the best John Mateer possible. So that's what I love about his story, his edge, his patience, John, in a unpatient world, to know that his time was coming and to trust our vision for him in this offense.
Did you see this in him, or do you have to see a guy in like a game situation to know what you have?
Well, I think there's a general thought that we have something really special here. I've said this before, you know, probably with you, is that we were unwilling to go into the transfer portal and guarantee anybody that they could come in here and just be our quarterback. You had to come in and win it because we felt very comfortable with John's skill set and what he was capable of doing. To see it now realized, to say I thought he would be this good, I can't say that. But I know this, he's going to get better every day. He's only started 3 football games in his career. So what his ceiling is, John, I'm not going to put a limit on him. I think his ceiling is so high, and that's because of the character traits he possesses and how he's never satisfied. He walked into this building on Sunday saying, Coach, I need to be better. And I love that in an ultimate competitor. And he's a great mentality to have leading your football team.
All right. A guy like that who is such a good runner, I start to think, okay, situationally, when do you want him to run? Or when do you want, you know, first down, touchdown, get down mentality? Or do you even say that because you need him to be the player that he can be?
Like, John, I was a high school quarterback, and I was a terrible D3 quarterback, so I know just enough about it. The biggest thing is I never want to put doubt in those guys' minds about anything. There's a strength that is John in his game, and when you make those split-second decisions, doubt cannot be in there. And he's got to play to his natural instinct and natural ability. I think we all understand the inherent risk of playing a physical game, but you know, there'll be times, you know, he slid on the last play when they jumped off sides, if that counts. But other than that, he's going to play an aggressive style of football, and we're going to do whatever it takes to win games here.
All right, so before I move on and start talking about this week and the rest of the season, but are you able to sleep after winning a game like that? Like, or are you just so full of adrenaline and pride for your team and what you guys accomplished that, you know, you're up in the wee hours?
Yeah, I didn't sleep much before that one, and I didn't sleep much after that one. It was one of those things where normally I do a pretty good job, but, you know, yeah, there was an adrenaline. More so, there was just a pride for our players and just being so happy for all the work I get to see in 9.5 months that goes into winning a football game like that and understanding the pride that it gives Cougs everywhere. So there's a lot of that, but the best thing that happened to us, we play Friday night. We've had to wash that thing quickly because the saturation of success can come and get you really quick.
Yeah. All right, so how do you get your guys refocused right away? Or how soon do you start on Sunday and Monday talking about what's at stake?
Well, I showed them a race when Usain Bolt set the world record in 100 meter this morning in 2009. And I said, you know, that the best thing about elite sprinters is that it doesn't matter who's in the lane to your left or your right. How well are you going to run your race? Yeah. And it doesn't matter that he set the world record a year before. So you can't rest on those laurels. How fast and how far do we want to go with this race and this new opportunity that we have Friday night? And I think as a high performer and a team that needs to continue to get better, like, why would we be satisfied with anything? We did what we expected to do. That's not a power statement, John. It's a belief statement. We expected to be here. We got what we came for. Why would we be satisfied as a football team? Because San Jose doesn't care we won the Apple Cup. They're 3-0. They play extremely hard, tough football. And our focus will show up on that field on Friday night.
D3, Jake Dickert, the quarterback. Could he have played for Jake Dickert, the coach?
Ooh, that Jake Dickert was a little edgy and probably wasn't as maybe wise and smart maybe as he is now on a couple things. But I was so good at quarterback, John, they moved me to wide receiver.
Right.
And then I just turned into a wide receiver diva and wanted the ball. So that's kind of my maturation as a player.
It's interesting because I find, like, okay, my brother's a high school coach, and he was an offensive player as a college player, and he's calling the defense now. And I'm like, what are you doing? And you're... you're that way too. You became a defensive guy. Can you take us a little bit through the, you know, how that unfolds? Is it because you're studying coverages and defenses and you're familiar with that side of the ball that helps you understand the defensive side, or what's going on there?
Yeah, a little bit of a funny story. My brother was still playing, and he was an offensive lineman. And when I came to be a GA, our head coach didn't want me coaching on the same side as him. And he's like, it'll be good for your career. Go learn defensive football, and you'll apply it to being a better offensive coach. And then once I got over on the defensive side, you know, I'm a math guy, John. I got a math degree, and it just fit my personality. It fit my train of thought. It just fit my nature of competitiveness. And now, you know, I just eventually, you know, came to understand that offensive side of the ball is just a bunch of cheaters. You know, they got all the advantage.
Right.
So let's find ways to combat that. And, you know, I'm an emotional guy. I think you saw that a little bit on Saturday. But, you know, it just fits kind of my mentality and mindset. I just ended up falling in love with it. And when I was at North Dakota State, there was a shakeup in the staff, and I had an opportunity to go to be a, you know, kind of an offensive GA or quality control at that time. And I just was like, nah, I want to stay on this defensive journey. And I'm so glad I did. But that offensive experience has definitely helped me kind of shape what goes into the mindset of the other side of the football.
I was watching the broadcast. I went and rewatched it on Sunday just to kind of wanted to get the feel for the sequence of the game and what was happening, the flow of the game. And, you know, you've got an assistant coach who's next to you on the sideline who's kind of in your ear, not on the headset, but just kind of in your ear at the end of the game, maybe reminding you of the situation, reminding you of the timeouts. How helpful is that to have a guy on your shoulder who's kind of going, hey, we've got two timeouts here, or we got a timeout here. And is that what he's doing, or is he talking to you about the post game? I don't know. I'm not a lip reader.
No, that's Justin Kramer. He's our special assistant to the head coach, and he is our book guy. So we talk about analytics every week leading into the game. We talk about end-of-game situations constantly. And what I loved in that moment, and it's a very emotional one, everyone's celebrating his poise in that moment. It was like, hey, stay focused. We have two timeouts. There's a minute 12 left. We can't kneel on the ball. We're in no situation to delayed knee. We got to have three of our best run plays. Let's try to draw them off sides after they use their timeouts. I mean, it was a pointed, articulate, well-thought-out conversation that we're having in the midst of the most chaotic situation you could possibly be in. So we have guys for that. I thought he performed his job beautifully in that moment and, you know, got everyone centered and on the same page of how we needed to execute and win that last minute 12.
Yeah, I know. I mean, he jumps off the screen at me as I'm watching the replay, and I'm going, he is poised. And he is in your ear, and he's not on the headset, so he's right, like, he can put his hand on your shoulder. He's just right beside you there, and I think that's a huge asset and benefit to have somebody there who's kind of working through that chaos as everybody else is jumping around like the game's over. It is, but it isn't. Jake Dickert with us. San Jose State, what do you see on film?
Well, I see a team that understands how to win and has been very successful the last 4 to 5 years. You know, obviously a new head coach. But they're going through a situation where they're dynamic on offense. I mean, they take the ball downfield more than any team I've really game planned against in a long time. And then defensively, they're going to dictate what they want to do to you. They're going to cross the line of scrimmage. They're going to get their hands on you. They have 10 takeaways in 3 games. You know, a team that's played really well. And this moment coming here to Washington State is not going to be too big for them. They've been here before in many aspects as a team and an organization the last 5 years, and they've had tons of success. So I believe we're going to get their best, and I think this moment demands ours in return. So obviously a well-coached football team, and we expect a great game Friday night.
All right, the top 25 poll comes out, and I just shook my head, and I went, okay, what do they have to do? Beat Texas Tech, beat Washington. What do they have to do to get respect? I know you're not going to get caught up on that, hung up on that, but can that chip on the shoulder help you guys, or do you just kind of wave it all off?
Once again, when your focus goes, your energy flows. We're one of 4 teams with 2 Power 4 wins in the country. The other 3 are ranked, and we're not. You know, so that says enough about what it means. But at the end of the day, you can only focus on what you can control, and that's this Friday night. But, you know, eventually, if you keep stacking up 1-0s, those things will matter. And I don't think the coaches want us in that poll and want us to see us climbing, if I'm being honest. So we're going to focus on what we need to do. And if we do enough, 1-0, we'll create an opportunity for ourselves. But our whole focus is on San Jose.
I love that. Where your focus goes, the energy flows. We can all use that. Okay. Jake Dickert, thank you, man. Great stuff.
As always, John, it's a pleasure. Appreciate you having me on. Go Cougs.
Jake Dickert, well said. Keep an eye on that. Like, you know, can't help but notice. Is it possible, like, the rest of college football doesn't want Washington State in there? Jake Dickert making a salient point there. We'll kick it around coming up next. Leave it here. You got the Bald-Faced Truth.